Well, you can take your Bibles tonight, and you can go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. So, we're continuing into our series on the acceptable year of the Lord that we started last month. Last month, we took a look at why we needed a Savior. What happened to the world? Why did God need to send us Jesus Christ, His Son, to save us? And tonight we're going to take a look at, as a foundational piece to working the Word as far as the life of Jesus Christ and His ministry, we're going to take a look at a biblical reckoning of time. Okay, what does the Bible say about time? So in working God's Word accurately, you have to consider and be aware of how the Scriptures refer to periods of time and how it's different from how we reckon time today. Okay? For example, when we talk about a day, we talk about midnight to midnight. That's why everybody stays up really, really late on December 31st and watches a ball drop and are exhausted because we decide to start reckoning our days at midnight. So the day starts at midnight and goes all the way 24 hours till the next midnight. And this is how the Romans defined their days, which is why we do it today. But the Babylonians, in ancient biblical times, began their days at sunrise. Okay, so Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night." So He gave them names. The light time was day, and the dark time was night. "And the evening and the morning were the first," what?
Day.
And so He defines that as well. The evening and then the morning make up the first day. So their day started at, well, the word day here is used twice. The first usage is simply a separation of daylight from the nighttime. So the first part, day, in there, the light day, is just the daylight time of the day. But the second usage is more significant because evening is sunset to sunrise, and then morning is sunrise to sunset. So the Scriptures define a day as sunset to sunset. So when the sun goes down, that day is done, and the next day is beginning. Okay? Not at midnight, when the sun's been down for several hours. Go to John, chapter 11, verse 9. So the Bible, and what biblical people lived their lives by, was a day that started at sunset. The setting of the sun marked the end of that day and the beginning of the next one. Which makes kind of sense, right? In the sky, there goes the sun, and boom, done. End of day. And then they start counting for their next day. It was a visual guide to them. We have digital clocks lying around everywhere. Some of us even have a handful of analog clocks with the arms that swing. Those are basically landfills now. So we know what time it is. We can just look and see. But they used the sun. John chapter 11, verse 9. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light to him." So the day is the daylight portion, and it was divided into 12 portions called hours. So Jesus said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" Okay, they divided the daytime, the light period, into 12 sections they called hours. Now the trick here is that these hours are not static as we measure them today, because they were looking at what? The sun. And as anyone knows, right now it stinks because the sun is only up for 8 hours during the day. It's the winter time. So our hours, which are 60 minutes, were not their hours. Okay, so their hours were just the sections of the day. Isaiah chapter 38. So when you see the word hours in the Bible, it's easy for us to think, well, 60 minutes. But that's not always the case, because it varied throughout the year. Isaiah 38. Verse 8. Isaiah 38, 8. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. This refers to a sundial. So remember those analog clocks that we all threw in the garbage? 60 minutes for an hour. Same thing with our digital clocks today. But they measured time in the daytime using a sundial. Okay? This magnificent object that they put on the ground and they watched as the sun went over it and the shadow was cast would point to different periods throughout the day. So depending on where that shadow was pointing, almost like arms on a clock, would be what period of the daytime they were talking about. It was divided into those 12 parts that they referred to as hours. So today in the winter, when the sun is only up for a short period of time, those hours are faster because the sun goes, you know, the shadow moves quicker across the plain. The sun's not up as long. And then in the summertime, when the sun's up a long, long time, those 12 sections are longer than our 60 minutes. But they still looked down at the ground and said, okay, it's the ninth hour of the day, the 10th hour of the day, depending on where that sundial was pointing. So depending on the, only a sunrise to sunset of exactly 12 hours would be match our time today, right? So that one or two days a year where the sun is up there for exactly 12 hours, would it match the 60 minutes of today? But a few days before that, a few days after, it starts to get wonky again. But when they looked down at the ground at that sundial, it was that hour of the day. So that's how they measured. Go to Mark 13, verse 35. So now we have a problem, because at the beginning of every day, the sun has gone down. And let me tell you, sundial is pretty useless without a sun. It's just kind of dark on that sundial all the time. There's no shadow. So they knew how to reckon their daytime into 12 hours. But at nighttime, there's no sun. Well, Mark 13, 35 says, Watch you therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the what? Morning. Well, those are four strange words to us. But in terms of biblical time, that's how they measured the period during the night, when the sun was not up. So the night is divided into four watches. And they have names. And those are what the names are. Even, at midnight, at the cock crowing, or in the morning. So there were four night watches, each approximately a quarter of the night, right? Because again, our nights right now, after the sun goes down, are fairly long, and in the summer, they're much shorter. So they basically estimated it as far as how long those watches were. And they had actual watches. They had people who stayed up and, you know, made sure the towns were safe and secure, or sat up there on the, you know, castle walls and looked out. So they had people to stay up during those night watches and shifts. Go to 1 Samuel 11, 11. So when the Word of God talks about time at night, it will talk about those approximate quarters, those watches. You won't hear the, you know, 15th hour of the day because they didn't divide the night into hours. First Samuel 11:11 says, "And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the host in the morning watch, and slew the Ammonites until when? The heat of the day." So they started in that morning watch, a little before sunrise. Because once the sun rises, you can now use your sundial. But before that, it's in the watch, and then they fight until the heat of the day. Psalm 90, verse 4. So the morning is that last quarter of the evening or the night time, where the sun will then rise to mark the beginning of the daylight hours. Psalm 90, verse 4. "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the what? Night." Just a brief quarter of night time. Just a watch in the night. Go to Matthew 14:25. Matthew 14:25 says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea." So now we know this is in the last quarter of that nighttime period that he went out walking on the sea. Okay, so that puts it almost towards sunrise of that day. Luke 12:37. "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants." Okay, so again, just mentioning those night watches. So whenever you read in the Bible of a watch, it's a period during those nighttime hours where the sun was not shining and they couldn't use a sundial. The term week has retained its meaning since biblical times. The days of the week did not have names like we use today, like Tuesday, but were rather numbered. So you'll hear them say, in the third day of the week, or on the fifth day of the week. But the weeks were 7 days, okay? So then they talk about weeks, it's a 7-day period just like it is today, but they just didn't have names. Now a biblical month is very different from today. The Hebrew word for month, yirach, means moon, okay? So a month was moon. Another, Kodesh, means a new moon, okay? Go to Psalm 104:19. So a month is very different from our months. Psalm 104:19 says, "He appointed the moon for seasons." And the seasons is the word moed, which is appointed time. "He appointed the moon to designate appointed times, not seasons like summer, spring, fall, but appointed times. The sun knoweth his going down. So the moon, God put into place so that we would be able to keep track of time, keep track of those months. And thus the months spoken of in the Bible are lunar cycles. Okay? A month began with the first new crescent moon. So, you know, totally black new moon. As soon as they got to see a little bit of that crescent, that's day one of the month. And it takes about 29 and a half days for the moon to orbit the earth. And thus, biblical months were either 29 or 30 days, depending on when that crescent first showed up. Since it's 29 and a half days to get all the way around, sometimes the crescent would come up after 29 days, and sometimes it would come up after 30 days. Okay, because obviously 29 and a half days is in the middle of the day, and you can't see the moon then. So they wait to either see it on the 29th day or the 30th day. If you multiply, there's math, if you multiply 29 and a half times 12, you get 354 days. And we don't have 354 days in our year. We have 365 days. So we're missing 11 days. So every 2 or 3 years, a 13th month was added to the calendar so that they could keep everything in sync. Okay? So basically, their years were the 12 months, 354, 354, 354, 354, and then they would get to the point where they were like, oops, we're falling behind here, and they'd add a 13th month, which added another 30 or 29 days to that year, so that year was longer. It was like 384 days. So instead of 365, 365, 365, 366, because of our leap year, it's something like 354, 354, 354, 384, because there's an extra month in that year. Cool, right? Cool.
That'd be terrible if you were salaried.
The names of the months were developed when the Judeans adopted the Babylonian calendar in captivity. Okay? So prior to that, they were simply numbered months, except for the first, which was called Abib, the second, which was called Ziph, the seventh, which was called Ethanim, and the eighth, which was called Bul. So they had names for their first and second, and then their seventh and eighth, but otherwise the rest of the months were just 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 10, 11, 12. Then, when they were brought into Babylonian captivity, they adopted those names, which are much more familiar to us biblically when we read about them, like Nisan and Iyar and Sivan and Tammuz and Tishri. Yeah, names like that. If you go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. So the months were given names. Exodus 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Chapter 13, verse 4. This day came you out in the month Abib. Okay? So Abib was the original Hebrew name of Nisan, which is our March, April-ish time frame. Okay? So Abib was what they originally called Nisan in Hebrew. And that refers to a period sometime in March or April. It corresponds to the original Passover, right? So when we just announced Easter this year is on April 26th, sometimes Easter's in March, right? That's because it's on a lunar cycle. It's not, you know, our standard calendar. It moves quite a bit. So that was the beginning of their year. It corresponds to the original Passover, sometime in the spring. So that was what God told them the first month would be. And according to historical records, the Jewish civil calendar began in the seventh month, which is called Tishri, and that's in the fall. Okay? In the fall, September, October. So they had a standard calendar starting with Nisan based around sacred matters, because that's when God told them the year began. So anything that had to do with a sacred matter, if it was something that God put into place, if it had anything to do with like the temple or keeping of the Passover or feasts, all of that was calculated off of that March, April, Nisan date, which is the beginning of their sacred calendar. Anything that had to do with a civil matter, they calculated off of a different calendar that started in the seventh month at Tishri, in the fall. So we do this in like the financial world. People will have a standard calendar, which we all know, and then there'll be a fiscal calendar that might start like on a different month. So your company's monetary fiscal calendar might be September all the way through the following July. And that's kind of what they did. They had this sacred calendar that God gave them, and then they had this civil calendar. The civil calendar was used to determine things like the length of the king's reign. That wasn't a sacred matter, that was a civil matter. How long does the current reigning king going on? It also aligns with the Macedonian standard calendar. Okay, so if you go to Leviticus 23:24, it says, speak unto the children of Israel. Well, verse 23, this is coming from God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. So God marked what was the beginning of their civil calendar year, that seventh month, Tishri, as a special day. It was a special Sabbath. It was the memorial blowing of trumpets, and it was a holy convocation. Verse 25, you shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So that was also a special Sabbath day for them. They weren't to do any work at the beginning of their civil year in Tishri. Okay? So to sum it all up, the biblical day begins at sunset. When you see the sun go down, that's the end of the day. The daylight time was broken up into 12 periods called hours, and they used a sundial to figure out how long those were. And the length of an hour varied depending on the time of the year. And then the nighttime was separated into four watches, approximately each a quarter of the night. Your week was divided into 7 days, just like it is today, the seventh day being called the Sabbath. And then the months were either 29 or 30 days, each following the lunar cycle. So every time they saw the new moon start, with the crescent just showing up, that marked the beginning of the new month. The 12 lunar months comprised a year, and an extra month was added every 2 to 3 years to keep time. And then there were two calendars used, for one for civil matters, which started in the fall with Tishri, and another for sacred matters like feasts that started in the spring, Nisan. Okay? So that's a lot of date and time information, but it's going to be foundational for the stuff that we're going to work in the coming weeks when it comes to figuring out time frames and periods of Jesus Christ's ministry, when things happened and how it pertains to different things on the calendar and stuff.